so.
Anakin piloted Dobie and Deelan's speeder back to the podrace hangar, leaving Obi-Wan as he checked in with Ciri and Rygol to see if other complications had sprung up. He saw Dobie and Deelan working on the engine as he parked the speeder and hurried over. Deelan raised a grease-stained face.
Am I glad to see you? We have a rotor problem we can't seem to fix.
Let me have a look. Anakin leaned over the engine. This could be a connector problem. Hand me that hydra spanner, will you? Anakin took the hydra spanner from Dobie and bent over the engine. Have you run the track in a speeder yet? He asked. An advanced look is always a good idea.
Can't, Dobie said. The pod racers won't know the track until they're racing.
Anakin looked up. What do you mean?
The onboard nav computer will flash us the next area of the track every 3 minutes, Deland explained. We have to race and navigate at the same time. It's a new innovation that Sebulba dreamed up. He knows Hakula can do it, with his reflexes, Dobie said.
Anakin tinkered with the valves. Could this be the key to how the race was fixed? What if Sebulba's pod racer got the track information before anyone else? That would definitely give Hakula an edge. Who sends the route to the onboard computers? He asked.
The official timekeeper set up the program, Dobie said. Don't know his name.
But I do. It's Arno Daring. And Arno Daring is dead. Someone else will have to run the program. But who? Who's the favorite? Anakin asked. How are the odds running?
10-1 for Hakula, Deelan said. Rumor has it that Sebulba has bet a fortune on his son.
Of course he has. He knows Hakula will win. Anakin glanced over the hood of the podracer to where Sebulba was sitting, sipping tea while the pit droids worked on Hakula's podracer. Sebulba looked over and met his eyes. Something happened behind the creature's bulging eyes. Memory clicked in. He rose, his front arms waving, and approached.
Now I recognize you, slave boy. All you needed was a little grease on your face.
He laughed.
What an unfortunate surprise. I thought you were dead.
Not yet, Sebulba, Anakin shot back. I'm here to make sure your son loses, the way you did back on Tatooine. Badly.
Insolent boy!
Sebulba hissed, raising his hand for a blow. Sebulba's arm moved so fast it was a blur, but to Anakin, it looked like slow motion. He easily stepped aside in time. The wind fanned against his face. Sebulba staggered, his balance upset. He had expected to land the punch. You can't touch me, Anakin said. He whispered the words close enough now to smell Sebulba's rank scent. You were never fast enough. You still aren't.
Slave boy!
Sebulba went toward him again. This time, Anakin whirled and delivered a kick that sent Sebulba flying. Enraged, Sebulba started toward awaiting Anakin, but suddenly, the glymphid Aldar Beedo stepped between them.
You're disturbing my concentration, he said to Anakin,
tapping a blaster on his belt. Anakin hesitated, not sure what to do. The situation now threatened a spiral out of control. Hakula was starting across to join in. If a fight began, others could be hurt, including Dobie and Deelan.
Master!
Suddenly, Jula appeared and tugged at Sebulba's robe.
I have made fresh tea.
So what?
Sebulba said furiously.
Get away from me, slave!
He struggled to kick Jula aside with his hind legs while keeping his eyes on Anakin. Deelan jumped forward to protect his sister. Sebulba's kick connected, and Deelan flew through the air, smashing against the cliff face. He landed awkwardly on his arm with a cry.
Deelan!
Jula ran toward her brother. She knelt beside him.
You're hurt.
Get away from him!
Hakula suddenly roared, rushing forward. Jula hesitated. Aldar Beedo shrugged and turned away, tucking his blaster back into his belt.
This is a family matter. I have work to do.
Deelan's teeth gritted.
Go back,
he told his sister.
I'm all right.
Anakin trembled with the effort of holding himself back. Jula hurried away. Dobie helped his brother to his feet. Deelan held his arm carefully.
Better get the medic, boy.
Sebulba called before scuttling back to his pod racer.
It looks like you won't be able to pilot your pod racer.
He's right,
Dylan said through gritted teeth.
It's broken. What are we going to do?
Dobie whispered.
This was our last chance. What can we do for Jella now?
Anakin saw the desperation on the two brothers' faces. I can pilot the pod racer, he said. If I win, your sister will go free.
But that isn't fair,
Dobie said.
Why would you do such a thing?
Because it's the right thing to do, Anakin said. Obi-Wan stood across the street from Uso Iso's swoop shop. He had disguised himself as a space traveler, pulling on a dull gray cloak and a wrapped headdress. Obi-Wan saw a short, plump figure suddenly dart across the street and head for Iso's dark front door. He sprinted across the street to catch up. He yanked Didi back by the collar of his tunic. What are you doing?
Nothing. At least nothing now since you're holding my collar, Didi said.
You said you were going to buy back Bog's speeder, Obi-Wan accused.
I tried. I did. But the cheating monkey lizard I sold it to upped the price,
Didi told him.
I need to raise a little cash, so I thought I would sell Bog's datapad and buy back his speeder instead.
Obi-Wan saw the datapad tucked under Didi's arm. Let me see that. There was a chance that someone on the Games Council knew the events were rigged. This might be an easy way to find out. He quickly accessed the information on Bog's system and flipped through random files. There didn't seem to be anything amiss. It appeared that Bog's only job on the Games Council was arranging VIP seating. He had made listings matching senators with exclusive gallery skyboxes for various events. So much for his importance. Obi-Wan shut down the datapad. He tucked it inside his tunic. Obi-Wan's comlink signaled. Jocasta News voice came through crisply.
I found out who Quentor is. Were you playing a joke on me, Obi-Wan?
No, of course not.
There was no record of him anywhere, so I did the usual criminal search. Then a deep background trace. Nothing appeared.
So he is an underground figure. Jocasta New chuckled.
Not exactly. He's a yellow-tailed summer bird.
He's a bird?
An unofficial pet of the Senate. He lives in the eaves of the building, and the senators leave him fruit and crumbs to feed on.
Obi-Wan groaned, then thanked Jocasta New and cut the communication. He turned to Didi. Do you know where Flea is staying? Didi shook his head.
A guest house, I suppose. A hovel, I'm sure. Flea is very cheap.
Find out.
Ah, yes, Obi-Wan.
Didi bowed and rushed away.